This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
Score!
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. Right back at it on The Fan. Joining us right now so we can talk hockey, a little puck talk with Jonathan Davis, NHL analyst from VSiN. He's out west at West Coast Hockey, so it's 7 p.m. out. Where you are, John? What's up, man?
Oh, man. You know, it's raining out here, and we pay a sun tax, so I think we need a little bit of a rebate. It's not right. It's not, I mean, look, I grew up in Toronto. I'm used to bad, like, cooler weather, rain, but not supposed to happen here in SoCal.
Where are you at exactly?
Manhattan Beach.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you guys are spoiled. You get enough good weather days out there. You can't really.
We sure do. No. And no one would listen. No violence going through.
Well, John, you want the good news or you want the bad news first?
You know what? Let's go bad. That way we can only go up from here.
Well, the Rangers, after the run that they had last year where people were thinking they could win the Stanley Cup, get to the Stanley Cup and did not. I mean, they just dropped their third game in a row and they're looking to sell. And there's talk about Chris Kreider, who's a hero, who's a lot of guys' favorite player, him being available. I mean, we already heard all the rumblings about Jacob Trouba over the offseason. The bad news is, I mean, the Rangers are loved in New York City, and this might be the end of their run, but it's early. What do you think about everything that's going on with this group?
All right, well, yeah, lots to digest. I mean, I almost wonder if the Kreider rumors are just fugazi. I wonder if this is something where Peter Laviolette, Chris Drury goes to Kreider and says, look, we need to do something to wake up this group. I don't see the Rangers making that deal. Maybe I'm wrong. I just wonder if this is the story that's been planted to just kind of wake some guys up. The Trouba thing, obviously, you know, has more teeth, but this is a guy that controls his destiny. So it's a tough contract to move. The Rangers as a whole, I mean, it shouldn't be overly surprising, strictly from the standpoint that this is the track record for Peter Laviolette coach teams in year number two. They always regress. No matter where he's gone, his second full season, whether it's been Nashville, whether it's been Carolina, whether it's been the Islanders, year two, there's been a drop-off. So I'm not surprised. Now, look, the record's still really good, but I'm not surprised, you know, for them to take a step back this year. in any way, I'm not overly shocked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Rangers fans are just expecting this team. They've been so good and they've been so dominant and they've gone on runs. They're just expecting this team to continue where they left off last year. And I say it's early. The trade deadline isn't until March 7th. But yeah. I know, obviously, it's the deadline and moves could be made. What do you suggest from what you've seen out of the Rangers? What do they need? What should they be looking for to improve versus, like, who they need to get rid of or smoke screens or who they need to pretend like they're going to sell?
Well, I mean, look, they tried to add some offense to the team. I mean, look, it's been a lineup that's been very top-heavy. But, you know, I think you kind of have to look from within right now. I mean, Mika Zibanejad has struggled. Vincent Trocheck's off to, you know, he's on a pace right now. I think it's 40 points he'd be on pace for. That's his lowest number since his last season in Carolina. So some of the guys that they were counting on who've had good years before, I mean, like what last year watching that line with Trocheck, Panarin, and Lafreniere, especially in the playoffs, I mean, that was the best. They were dominant. I mean, Trocheck was playing at an MVP pace last year in the playoffs, but it's not happening right now. They hope that Riley Smith could be that guy that he was in Vegas, not the guy he was in Pittsburgh. He's been closer to the guy that he was in Pittsburgh. I mean, hey, the idea was that he was going to play with Kreider and Zibanejad. He was going to be that missing piece. It hasn't worked out. So I think some of the issues are from within. And, you know, look, the blue line for the Rangers, it's been Adam Fox has won a Norris Trophy, but to me, Adam Fox is more of an Erik Karlsson type player and not a shutdown guy. So, you know, the Rangers have found different ways to be successful. I'm not sure what the next, you know, what that move is right now, but I think Chris Drury's going to make a move. I do believe he will do something. I just don't know. It may be a little tricky, especially if you want to move Trouba and just because of his contract situation.
Okay, one more on the Rangers. How do you feel about Matt Rempe? There's a lot of conversation always around him, I mean, for mostly bad reasons. But he was here today, gone tomorrow. They just called him up to start some trouble, sent him right back to Hartford. How do you feel about Matt Rempe in year two?
Well, I mean, it's been, he's been, you know, it was a sideshow last year. And then, you know, he started to, you know, he did some good things on the ice. We can, you know, and then, you know, what we saw last night was just, it was just a bad look. It was so unnecessary. And it's, you know, I'm afraid that if he stays on this course, because he was playing well, from my understanding, down in the AHL, but last night it was just something unnecessary. And if he keeps this up, he's going to play himself out of the NHL. So this is a guy that, you know, the Rangers are playing a couple of minutes a night. It's just not worth it to me unless Rempe decides to change his way. And right now, you know, with the way things are going with New York, they just, the Rangers can't afford to have a distraction right now in Matt Rempe in the type of distraction he's become.
We're on the phone right now with Jonathan Davis. He's an NHL analyst for VSiN. I said one more for the Rangers. I was going to use Matt Rempe to segue into my Devils because I know my Devils fans listening, we don't have any love for Matt Rempe. But Paul is a Rangers fan. He's like, let me get one in. So, Paul, go ahead and ask Jonathan your question.
Yeah, John, is there any chance already that the Rangers are starting to tune Laviolette out?
Well, you know, that's kind of the point that I, you know, was trying to get, you know, is make at the beginning. I mean, year two is always a, you know, is a year where the teams fall off. Peter Laviolette is he's very demanding. And that personality, you know, can kind of wear on people. It's not much different than the way Bruce Cassidy is in Vegas. These guys can grind on you. Now Cassidy, you know, he's been able to get through things because he went to Stanley Cup in his first year. And while Laviolette has, you know, Stanley Cup pedigree, he hasn't done it in New York. And yeah, I do wonder if some of that is happening right now. But I think, you know, maybe, you know, they get a couple of days off here. He's also had a brutal schedule, guys. I mean, you take a look at what, you know, they go way on the West Coast for three, you come home for one, and then you got to go back out for two. Like, they're not the only team that's had to go through this. So I think that, you know, having a couple of days off here before they get back on the ice, you know, may help the cause. But Yeah, look, Peter Laviolette can grade on you, no question.
Yeah, just because that's his, obviously, and you know this, that's been his history, whether it's with, you know, the Caps, the Predators, whatever, the Flyers. I mean, it's 2 or 3 years, and then the players just can't deal with it anymore, and then they move on and whatever. Now, the good part about that is that they turn out to be very, very good teams under Laviolette because he's obviously a good coach, but you wonder if this core is already starting to be like, all right, get rid of this guy, a younger guy, and maybe that's a Michael Peck or whatever, but still, like, something along those lines.
I don't know if it's necessarily a younger guy. It's just a different. It's just a different voice, and you know, maybe they need a little hand holding right now, as opposed to, you know, look, you know, coaches will tell you, most coaches will tell you that they'll be hardest on players when things are going well, because they're going to respond a lot better than when things are going bad and you're being, you know, a hard ass. I don't know. I don't necessarily think we're at the point right now where it's a change from behind the bench. I think it's really, you know, like I said, Vincent Trocheck has been such a key part of this team the last 2 years. You know, him being on a 40-point pace is not helping the situation.
Again, right now, my guest is Jonathan Davis, NHL analyst from VSiN. I have to let the audience know right now, if you're listening to 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app, keep it locked here for my show until 12. But if you're on 660, you will hear the call of the Rutgers-Notre Dame basketball game that's coming your way right now in the next couple of minutes. So stay here if you want to continue with this conversation. Jonathan, you stay here. Back to what I was saying about Matt Rempe. It's on site when Matt Rempe faces the Devils. We still got a bone to pick with him. I don't think we'll be seeing him next Monday or this upcoming Monday when the Devils hit Madison Square Garden. But I'm looking at the Devils like this right now. I'm saying they're approaching wagon status. They are absolutely rolling. They have a win streak going. And, I mean, last night at home was just amazing. People were saying it was playoff atmosphere. Mr. Devil himself said he hasn't heard that place get as loud as it got at the end of that penalty kill in the third period. You get a, you know, natural hat trick from the captain, Nico Hischier. They're wearing their, you know, New Jersey jerseys that, or sweaters that say Jersey across the front. Yeah. It's just like everything's going right.
Sweaters. One of the best sweaters.
Yeah, it is awesome. I think you've seen UNLV tried to copy it, the college hockey team. But anyway, I'm a Devils fan. This is now my fourth season rocking with the Devils. I didn't grow up on hockey. No one put me on. I wish, because then I would have seen the Devils when they were actually winning. I would have been able to see Marty Brodeur play live. But either way, I'm here now. What can you say about the Devils goalie? Let's start there, Jacob Markstrom, and what he's been able to do.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To do early on. I know it's early on, but I mean, I can notice already the difference he's made.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you know, I think there was a bit of a hiccup early in the year. There were some rough games. But, you know, look, what was the big question for New Jersey last year? It was defense and goaltending. And, you know, from where I sit here out in L.A., like, Tom Fitzgerald did Lindy Ruff no favors last year. I mean, he cost Lindy Ruff his job by the fact that they never replaced what they lost on the back end and never solved their goaltending issue. But he did a great job in the summer. And now, you know, you've got a Devils team that was 28th, I believe, last year in goals against, and they're sixth right now. And yes, you've got a guy like Markstrom who I think, you know, has started to settle in. You've got a D-core that, you know, is deep as anybody. I mean, with Hamilton, I love the addition of Brendan Dillon, Brett Pesce, but I mean, the guy that may have been the best pickup is someone that no one expected, and that's Jonathan Kovacevic, who was in Montreal last. I mean, this guy's been a stalwart for New Jersey. So they solved their issues from last year. I felt, look, that they were a team that was resembled more the team that had 100 points two seasons ago. I mean, I bet the Devils in the offseason, I got them at 22-1 to win the Cup. That number quickly evaporated. I did that, I think, right around, free agent frenzy time. I love the coach. I'm a big Sheldon Keefe fan. And I'm sure that, I got to believe that he's salivating with the types of players that he's got on this roster. So I think it's a very well-built team. They learned their lesson from 2 years ago. I think they're heading in the right direction for sure. Yeah, last night was a lot of fun. Timo Meier gets suspended last night. I don't mind that. I think, hey, look, when your best players are getting PO'd, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. I think it just shows that they care. Look, I watch a team here in Los Angeles night in and night out. They just got steamrolled by San Jose for the second time in a month. There's no identity there. The Devils have an identity, and it's great to – they're a great watch.
Woo! Yeah, sorry, you're getting me fired up because it is an identity now. It's an identity change. It's an identity shift. You know, they got punked a lot last year. Speaking of the Rangers, like the Rangers swept them last year and they bullied them. Now, you know, when you see a cross-check like that last night with Timo – it's like they're standing on business, like they're standing up for themselves. They're fighting and they're protecting home ice. So it just gives you this feeling of like the place was packed. It was at capacity on a Monday night because Devils fans are itching for this team to be consistently competitive and get back to the glory days like they had. And 2 years ago, we got a taste, and last year was such a disappointment. But then you look at this group with Jack Hughes, Luke Hughes, having Dougie Hamilton back, having Nico Hischier, Jesper Bratt, Timo Meier, like now these guys have been skating together for a while. You add you bring Tomas Tatar back. You add some defenders. You add some, just more some like beef on the team, some muscle on the team.
Well, and
you
get Brendan Dillon's a guy.
Brendan Dillon.
Come playoff time, like that's a guy that you want in the lineup. That fight that he had in Florida. What was it? The interview that he did on TNT after the game that night, where he said he stopped counting at 20 punches.
they sent a message. I was in Mexico watching that in Espanol. Man, the Devils going to beat the Panthers like that, back to back games like that. It's like that's the best team, right? That's the team holding the cup.
Yeah, no question. And Florida's scuffling right now, but at that time they were on a roll. New Jersey had just come off, a loss to the San Jose Sharks. By the way. Here's something, being at VSiN and sports betting network, after losing to San Jose this year, teams are 6-1 in their 5-1 in their next game.
Why is that?
Well, I think it's because you're pissed off about losing to one of the worst teams in the league. It's the same thing.
And the Devils lost 1-0, so it's like they
right.
Yeah,
and they got beat by their former goalie who stood on his head that night.
It was a first period goal, and they couldn't get anything else. Pat, yep.
That was a fun game. Not from the Devils' perspective, but that was a fun game. So no, I really like the way this roster has been constructed. Last year to me, I don't even look at last year because for me that was a year that GM Tom Fitzgerald decided. I'm not going to rebuild the team. For whatever reason he chose last year, he decided I'm not rebuilding the team, and it showed. They did. If you don't have a goalie, Alain Vigneault, the former Ranger coach, always used to say, "Your goalie's better than mine, you win. My goalie's better than yours, I win." And there were way too many nights where you would go up against the Devils, and whoever it was in net for the other team had the better goalie.
Okay, last question for you. For the Islanders fans, the Icelanders fans. I was just talking to Pat Boyle, who did the update. He's an Icelanders fan. And I'm like, why do I always get this feeling that the Islanders are going to blow it? Granted, I'm new to watching hockey. I just picked it up the last couple years. I watch all the Devils games. But with the Islanders, they'll have a lead. They blow it. They'll be up in the standings, and they blow it. It's like it's almost like always too good to be true with them. They made some changes last year. I don't think their fans look at them right now like where they want to be. What's their trajectory? What can we expect out of the Long Island, or you know, the New York Islanders out in Long Island?
Mediocrity at best. I mean, they're a team like. I mean, I'm watching. I got four TVs set up in the man cave. Unless the Islanders are playing somebody really good, there's no way. They are not a very enjoyable team to watch. They're a team like, look, last year they played 26 overtime games, or games that went to overtime or a shootout. This year they've played 8 already. It's like a team that just tries to find a way to earn a point, at least one point on most nights. They're missing Matt Barzal. That's significant for them. Patrick Waugh is doing his best to try to get this team, to play more to a style that he would like. But, when you look at that roster, I mean, it's not a deep roster whatsoever. It's a very frustrating, it's not an exciting team to watch. I mean, it's not the Rangers. They really are the third child here. I just don't see where, like, for me, it's time for Lou Lamoriello to move on. And I think that, when he signed Pierre Engvall 2 years ago to a 6-year deal, like, I asked some people in the business about that. And one respected person told me Engvall had no other offers. Like, when he got the call from Lou, he grabbed a Sharpie and as fast as he could, he signed that contract. I mean, it just didn't make sense to give a guy like Engvall a 6-year deal. And so they got two really good goalies for sure. But beyond that, I mean, it's just, you're hoping as an Islander fan that your team's going to score a goal. You're not expecting. Yeah. You've got guys like Brock Nelson and Anders Lee. I mean, Kyle Palmieri's at 30, but they just seem to play not to lose as opposed to playing to win. And what it's now, it's 4-5 and 6-8, I think, that they've lost right now. And like I said, and 3 of those games have gone to overtime. They've lost all 3 of them. But they found a way to get a point. So they're able to stay relevant, but you just don't want to be in that mushy middle, and that's where they're going to end up being. They're either going to be, that second wild card team, or they're just going to miss, and that's not going to help them try to rebuild.
Well, they've got a nice brand new arena over there. I got to get out there and see that place.
Yes, they do. No, they do. They do. They've got an owner who's willing to spend, but I just don't know what they're doing out there, because it was to me, a very disappointing offseason if you're an Islanders fan. And, right now they've got Boston, Washington, and Buffalo on the table, and I'm not sure where they're going to get that win, because Buffalo's playing really well. The Caps, even without Ovechkin, man, they did a job on Florida last night. Boston, it would be the team that's vulnerable, and they're going to get them on the back end of a back-to-back. So that's a game that if you're the Islanders, you've got to jump on that Boston team right away, and step on them. Because Boston had a tough loss tonight, badly outshooting Vancouver. And they're not scoring under Joe Sacco, the new head coach. I think it's what now, 3 goals in 3 games under Joe Sacco, or 3 goals in 3 games the Bruins have scored under the new coach. Not giving up goals, but they're not scoring. So I think we're going to see overtime again tomorrow night.
Oh, while I have you, this is in my notes to talk about, and it's hockey too.
Paul Bissonnette, yeah, Biznasty.
Yeah, I'm reading about the fight that he got into. You hear anything about that? Now these guys' mugshots are posted. 6 guys out there in Arizona. They got into a little brouhaha with him.
Yeah, he addressed it on Twitter or X earlier today. He was at, I think, at a local restaurant in the Arizona area where he goes to quite frequently, and one of the guys, very drunk, was I don't know who he was having a discussion with, grabbed someone who worked at the restaurant. I don't know if it was the host or waiter or whatever, manager, but Paul Bissonnette went up to the guy and said, look, you better take your hands off him, or this is not going to end very well. And some punches through and were thrown, and it went out into a parking lot. He ended up having six guys, or I think he said seven guys. It was 7-on-1, but man, Biz was pretty tough in his day.
From what I'm seeing, he held his own. He said took some, gave more, and people online were basically laughing about, like, you know, these guys that ended up getting arrested in that and taking on the wrong guy. These hockey dudes are tough. That's one thing I'll say, John. I grew up playing football, thinking football was the tough guy sport, and then I started going to Devils games and seeing hockey up close, and I'm like, yo, time out. Like, that guy's hurt, and these guys don't get – there's no blue tents. There's no medical attention. They just keep skating or go over to the side, just put their leg up over the wall. I'm like, this is the tough guy sport.
Yeah, now there is more. There's more of concussion protocol these days than there was in years past. But yeah, I mean, especially come playoff time, you know, unless you're dead, you're playing. It doesn't matter what the injury is.
Yeah, and that too, they just say upper body, lower body. They don't really tell you exactly what it is.
Yeah, no. To see what's gone on with some of these guys. I mean, look, it happens in football, but. Yeah, no, these guys, they're warriors. And for them to have their name on the Stanley Cup, it means more than a paycheck.
Awesome. We'll end it there. Jonathan, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Anytime. Take care. Thanks for having me.
That's Jonathan Davis. Look him up at West Coast Hockey spelled HKY on Twitter. He's an NHL analyst for VSiN. Obviously, you guys just heard him help me out with some puck talk. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I remember when I first started 4 years ago. I kept it a buck with y'all. I kept it a bean. I said, I didn't grow up watching hockey. I'm a black dude. There's nobody watching hockey. No one really even watching baseball around me. I came into baseball on my own. I came into hockey on my own. And now I'm bringing hockey conversations to the Fan. And I've been doing that pretty consistently over the last now 4 years we're going on here. I just think there's a lot of hockey fans in this area with three hockey teams. I have grown to appreciate the sport and learn more. Like, I'm even able to, like, tell my wife why this is a special time right now with the Devils. And, you know, I wasn't always on that. So, yeah,